The Cat and the Mouse in Partnership. Hello everybody, my name's Natasha, and His Royal Highness Prince Bertie the Frog has commanded me to tell you the story of The Cat and the Mouse in Partnership by the Brothers Grimm. Today on the pond, Tim the Tadpole and Colin the Grumpy Carp have been arguing about whether cats and mice can ever be friends. Colin the Carp says they can't. Tim says they can. Colin says they can't. And Tim says they can. Stop! Stop! Commanded Bertie the Frog. Let Natasha get on with the story and then we'll find out. So, I had better begin. A cat got to know a mouse and spoke so much of the great love and friendship she felt for her that at last the mouse agreed to live in the same house with her and to go shares in the housekeeping.
But we must store up food for the winter or else we shall be hungry, said the cat.
And you, little mouse, cannot venture anywhere in case you run into a trap.
This good advice was followed, and a little pot of fat was bought. But they did not know where to put it. At length, after long discussion, the cat said,
I know of no place where it could be better put than in the church. No one will trouble to take it away from there. We will hide it in a corner, and we won't touch it till we really need it.
So, the little pot was placed in safety, but it was not long before the cat had a great longing for it, and said to the mouse,
I wanted to tell you, little mouse, that my cousin has a little son, white, with brown spots, and she wants me to be godmother to that little kitten. Let me go out today, and do you take care of the house alone?
Yes, go certainly, replied the mouse. And when you eat anything good, think of me. I should very much like a drop of the red christening wine.
But it was all untrue. The cat had no cousin and had not been asked to be godmother. She went straight to the church, slunk to the little pot of fat, began to lick it and licked the top off. Then she took a walk on the roofs of the town, looked at the view, stretched herself out in the sun and licked her lips whenever she thought of the little pot of fat. As soon as it was evening, she went home again.
Ah, here you are again, said the mouse. You must certainly have had an enjoyable day.
It went off very well, answered the cat.
What was the child's name? Asked the mouse.
Topoff, said the cat dryly.
Topoff, echoed the mouse. It is indeed a wonderful and curious name. Are all the others called Topoff in your family?
What is there odd about it? It is not worse than Bread Thief, as your godchild is called.
Not long after this, another great longing came over the cat. She said to the mouse,
You must again be kind enough to look after the house alone, for I have been asked a second time to be godmother. And as this kitten has a white ring round its neck, I cannot refuse.
The kind mouse agreed, but the cat slunk under the town wall to the church and ate up half of the pot of fat.
Nothing tastes better, said she, than what one eats by oneself. and she was very much pleased with her day's work. When she came home, the mouse asked,
"What was this child called?"
"Half gone," answered the cat.
"Half gone? What a name! I have never heard it in my life. I don't believe it is in any book."
Soon the cat's mouth began to water once more after her licking business.
"All good things in threes," she said to the mouse. "I have again to be godmother. The child is quite black and has very white paws, but not a single white hair on its body. This only happens once in 2 years, so will you let me go out?"
"Top off? Half gone?" repeated the mouse. "They're such curious names. They make me very thoughtful."
"Oh, you sit at home in your dark grey coat and your long tail," said the cat, "and you get fanciful. That comes of not going out in the day."
The mouse had a good cleaning out while the cat was gone, and made the house tidy. But the greedy cat ate the fat every bit up.
"When it is all gone, one can be at rest," she said to herself. And at night she came home sleek and satisfied.
The mouse asked at once after the third child's name.
"It won't please you any better," said the cat. "He was called Clean Gone."
"Clean Gone," repeated the mouse. "I do not believe that name has been printed any more than the others. Clean Gone. What can it mean?"
She shook her head, curled herself up, and went to sleep. From this time on, no one asked the cat to be godmother. But when the winter came, and there was nothing to be got outside, the mouse remembered their provision and said,
"Come, cat, we will go to our pot of fat, which we have stored away. It will taste very good."
"Yes, indeed," answered the cat. "It will taste as good to you as if you stretched your thin tongue out of the window."
They started off, and when they reached it, they found the pot in its place, but quite empty.
"Ah," said the mouse, "now I know what has happened. It has all come out. You are a true friend to me. You have eaten it all when you stood godmother. First the top off, then half of it gone, then..."
"Will you be quiet?" screamed the cat. "Another word, and I will eat you up."
Clean Gone was already on the poor mouse's tongue, and scarcely was the word out than the cat made a spring at her, seized and swallowed her. You see, that is the way of the world. Colin the Carp says that this story tells you all you need to know about cats and mice. But Tim the Tadpole says that he's still not quite sure if cats and mice can be friends. He'd like to hear the story all over again. Fortunately, I don't have to read it once more for little Tim, because Story Nories are always in the archives at storynori.com for you to listen to as many times as you like, absolutely free. And if you would like to buy a personalised story for somebody very special in your life, you can do that too. So tell all your friends to drop by and say hello to Bertie at storynori.com. I'll be back with another story soon. Until then, from me, Natasha, bye-bye!